This is a production of Cornell University.
I'll take the second question first. I mean, I think that this is really, whenever you hire somebody into any position, there is a hierarchy, right? And there is oversight. So we do hope that we make a good choice, but things do correct, right? If not, I mean, you don't work in isolation, you work in an environment, right? And everybody's got a boss, right? And so the expectation will be that the next game, will be accountable for what it is that they do to, you know, the administrative leadership to whom they will report. Your first question was, are there tangible things that we're thinking about to move the school to the next level? And I think that a lot of this, I certainly have personal opinions, but I'm not a candidate for the job. So I don't want to presuppose what a great dean would think will take us to the next level. I would like to hear from the next dean candidates what they think about. But there are things that I think are on the horizon for graduate school that we do need to think about. And I'll give you examples, right? How do you review graduate programs, right? I mean, like, how do we know where we really did? We did this external review of the graduate school. You know, graduate programs are often reviewed when departments are reviewed. We want the dean to be very much a part of that, the dean. There's some graduate fields that fall outside departments. And so we want to make sure there's a mechanism so that they get reviewed. But, you know, I think peer review has been demonstrated to be very beneficial as you try to move forward. How do we fund graduate students? Real important question. You know, and what is the best model? What is the best model for Cornell? And I think that I can't presuppose what that is, but I would say that I think that there's a real opportunity to ask ourselves those questions. So what we're really looking for, and I think getting back to your question, is, and I think I alluded to this, is that we're not so interested in people who will come and say, this is the way you should do it, but more, this is the way we're going to figure out what's the best way to and hopefully begin to develop those attributes of the student. Are we doing the best that we can possibly to prepare students for their careers? Maybe, I think we're doing a pretty good job, but are there better ways to do it? So, there's certainly things that I've heard about very frequently, and that there's services that graduate students want to avail themselves. They're just kind of hard to get here right now. Mental health services. Things like that. We've made big institutional investments. Is it, are these services available optimally to graduate students? And I think we have room to grow in many of these areas. Like I said, I don't know what the solutions are, otherwise I probably wouldn't share the search. I'd be the applicant. But I'm eager to hear what applicants are thinking. Yeah.
You got that. But
at
one point said, my personal
opinion is
really
clear. Yeah. Yeah, and I got that. Like I said, it doesn't really matter what I think. What really matters is what the next being we teach you keep. And I do think that there are areas where you should think about how to move forward.
Okay,
I
have a few
questions. Has everybody
in the committee signed up to take the bias?
So actually, our second committee meeting was last week, and we spent the first half of the meeting with unconscious bias training as a committee. So I am sure that everybody, I imagine, has already done it in other ways, but we thought it would be important to do it as a group, because I personally think that that's the most effective way to do training like this, so that you talk about issues in real time. And we actually asked, we had a great facilitator, and we asked for things that were specific to our search. So it wasn't just a generic exercise.
Gotcha. Because the ear ones that they put on are really good. One of them is called Beyond the Lens. So I knew
Yeah, but we thought that was critically important.
And are you deciding matters by consensus or by professional?
Good process question. So far we got as far as figuring out the best way to screen applicants at this early stage, and the committee was very enthusiastic about what I'm doing today and tomorrow and next week. I must say we haven't decided, so I guess the question, I'm wondering what your question really gets to, because there are many different steps of decision. So help me understand.
I wrote a faculty group for you now, and we have written stuff that some of the best practices is reduced by consensus.
Yes.
And so we adopted that as like a small committee, both in like deciding at every stage, like
yes.
Well,
I'll just tell you what we've done, because we have made one decision, and that decision is about how we're going to screen the applications that we've got now in silicon, right? We've got copies of everything. And everybody in the search committee will review every application. We gave some scoring criteria, and that we may amend, because you guys and others give us advice.
Is that based on your main rubric?
Yes. But the other thing that we put into that is that any committee member can say they want somebody discussed, right? Because we've got too many applications to do a long discussion of everybody. So if there's unanimity or broad consensus, then somebody won't make our shorter list. We will still discuss that candidate if anybody on the committee says, wait a minute, I see something here that we should talk about. So that's as far as we've gotten now. I'd love to see some of the materials that you've read to make sure we are using best practices. But hopefully, we will discuss sufficiently so everybody who's got an opinion, you know, about a particular candidate has the opportunity to articulate.
And then one more question. So it seems like you're talking to like, broader faculty and grad and staff community and success throughout this process. Is that going to be formally in your rubric? Like, are you going to have an official consideration of the opinions you get from the community, or is that?
Oh, yes. Well, remember what we're going to do is we're going to do these Zoom interviews, and we as a committee will decide who to come to campus. Those individuals will meet many people when they're here, and everybody who meets a candidate will be invited to comment on that candidate's acceptability or their level of enthusiasm for that candidate to be the next dean and why.
Since you have like an official way that you're going to incorporate those comments,
not yet. Okay, that's still, like I'm still working on tomorrow. But we're getting there, and like I said, we want to be very intentional about this, and if you have any specific suggestions, I'd be very glad to hear them. But the bottom line is that we're going to try to get as much input as possible from each of the key constituencies and make it not vague, you know, be able to provide people with a way to communicate back with us specifically what they're thinking.
Mine is actually followed in my report because I actually remember what I forgot.
Okay, so I have Alice.
So I have a question specifically about the role of the diversity criteria in the selection process.
So what we ask for is a statement of inclusivity and diversity. It's a Cornell requirement that we make of all faculty candidates. We are not more prescriptive. We'd like to see what they say to us, right? Because I think that it's a lot more informative than telling people what to tell you, because we tell you what you want to do once a year. We don't have a formal weighting of that, and we don't have a formal assessment. It's more, at this point, going to be impressions from members of the committee about what that really meant. Was that deep? Was that, or was it really superficial? And so I don't know what better way to quantify it.
I guess I'll just like, what about the candidate?
Identification of the candidate?
Yeah, I'll go as in like, how the individual identified, like,
if I understand,
like, your, like, person of color, or
whether we are particularly interested in different.
That's my question.
I at this point we also want to be inclusive, and so we want to look at candidates from a wide range of backgrounds. We're lucky so far that seems to be the case. Feel that when one thinks about diversity issues. Certainly having real life experience as a candidate probably gives you a window on that in a way that others may not. You know, and this will all come out, I think, in the statements and the conversations. But we're not targeting anyone.
Yeah, my comment really quick, and it is a sort of a criteria that I would look for. In my experience here, there's often either trade-offs or limitations that are based on funding and available resources. So I would include in my experience someone that has experience working with either alumni development or corporate partnerships or other ways of increasing the available resources of the graduate school beyond just tuition or grants or this sort of standard way to put up.
Yes, so that has been discussed by the committee. On a number of occasions. I think everybody on the committee is sensitive to the underlying theme of what you just said, and that is that graduate school is expensive. It's expensive to run one, and the more resources or the more revenue streams one's got, the better you are going to be able to manage and build a great school. So that awareness is there. And I am quite sure that will come up with every one of the candidates with what experience they've had and how they feel about it.
We have two last questions. We'll go with that.
So the way we're giving that first is that we ask them to specifically describe this in their statements. Now, remember, we're still trying to retain confidentiality, and so we're not reaching out for recommendations yet because we don't feel like it's appropriate to do that if there's a candidate who's not going to even make it past the first round, you know, to out them, you know, in that way. So far, we're asking them to tell us about their experience. And I think any candidate who is thinking about this will put some, quite a bit about that, you know, what their students have done, what they've accomplished, what their mentoring style is. That's what we're looking for in their letters of interest. Yep, I think that that's a great point. I think that it would be inappropriate to give somebody an offer for this position without getting some firsthand knowledge, or secondhand, by how they perform as mentors. So I'm not sure that that was at the top of our minds, but that's a real important point that we won't forget. Thanks. Let me think about that. You know, I want to make sure that we're walking the line appropriately with being transparent and being open to the community, but also respecting, the privacy of discussion. But I think I just told you the criteria that in answer to one of the first questions. Those are the ones that we've specifically described, and I'll just tell you more. We've given all of the members of the search committee a form with a Likert scale, and they're really assessing candidates on those criteria that we mentioned, and we want to make sure that we're not forgetting them. So that's one of the purposes of this meeting.
All right, so the part I meant to ask before, but I didn't, or include as part of my original question, was, what are you looking for in terms of people for, screening for graduate student life? Obviously, graduate students are not just friends on six who are people. I'm disabled, so so access issues are not just physically being able to walk to my classes, but issues regarding accommodations and things like that matter to me because I sometimes have to miss classes in medical appointments and things like that. But issues like that and also issues of the fact that we live in a college town. Like trying to get housing that is year to year, that allows you to break, that allows you to either break your lease early or that can go for a semester. Those are issues that I know, certainly I'm one of the master's student representatives, and that part is definitely an issue from my perspective.
Yep, so all important things, and how are we going to deal with it? Well, the committee, I'm sure, will ask some of those questions. There are going to be lots of opportunities, like I said, when candidates come here for them to both be educated about needs on our campus, right? And also to be questioned about how they feel and where they rank different things of importance. So those are all, each of the things that you mentioned are clearly important considerations. You know, again, assessing a candidate holistically with all of these different things, becomes complicated. But those are very much a part of our question.
Pulled up the faculty handbook, and I see they clearly outline who has authority to make appointments, letters of appointment, and homework. If you guys have anything on the administrative end, and so if you have any external oversight that's dictated by policy, or you guys have your own policy.
Our committee?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so our committee was empaneled by the provost, and we're advising. We don't decide on who the being BPGP. All we are doing is that we are soliciting applications. We feel like we're a pretty diverse group that will be able to evaluate candidates and give advice. And the advice will be the level of enthusiasm of the search committee for different individuals. So we are not, we will not make the decision as to who the next team is. All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you all very much and have a great meeting.
Thank you. For the sake of time, I don't think we have division breakout. You do have division breakout, but we are not looking out physically. But you have time to stretch your legs, go to the restroom in 5 minutes. So if you could sign in here for the next 5 minutes or so, get more food and some water, and then we'll come back to you. So this is, and it is case sensitive.
It says this form can only be accessed via by users in the open organization. Are you logged in for your Cornell? What is your Cornell? I am. I have three different Gmails that are all plugged into my let me
can you not have all
I don't see how. No, I'm logged into the right one. No, it's still not. I'm logged into the right one in this case. It's still not. No, in this case, I am logged into the right one. It's still not. Yeah, let me see if I can go plug myself in somewhere. My laptop is here. If I could, sir. Sure. Andy, can you bring the QNAP back up, please? Thank you very much.
Reconvene the meeting. So, if anyone did not think was able to come in. Talk to us afterwards, and we'll give you back to them. We'll have you manage. So the next item on the agenda is new business. And for this section, I am sponsoring the resolution, but I will cede the floor to Chris Bark, who is in the UA. And since I am sponsoring this resolution, I cannot chair the meeting myself, so I will pass on the chairship to Alexa. So right now, I'm not acting as chair.
Hello everybody, my name is Chris Bark. I'm here from the University Assembly and the Employee Assembly. I'm excited to be here at the DPS Bank. This is my first assembly that I'm not a part of, but I get to be at. I'm also excited to talk to everybody, because when I was hanging out with Izzy and Alexa, I realized that you guys are the most dynamic group of people on campus. You know, you've got someone that you're yelling at, you've got someone that's yelling at you, you're teaching things, you're a student, you are starting families. Been here 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 10 years long. So it's really important to get your guys' support for this campus circulator. I work in CIP, desktop engineering. I've been at Cornell for 5 years. And the cool part of my job is that I get to work with everybody on campus. So I'm a central service organization, so I work with a law school or a human policy. And it's one of those things where I have jurisdiction to talk to everybody, but I have no authority. So it's great. So I can say, what are you doing? This is what I heard that law school is doing, but I can't get you doing. I am on all of these things, and that is mostly because when we got to the end of our meeting for sign-ups, they said no one could be in the room until somebody did it. And so that is why I'm part of all these things. But I'm the chair of the Campus Infrastructure Committee on the University. So I'm going to talk about the circulator. And using this as a definition I found online, it's a bus transit or a short distance circular fixed route transit mode that takes riders around a specific area to meet a destination. It could be sort of anything. The first time I had heard about circulators was just sitting in meetings and hearing these things about a master plan, which is something that they created in 2008. It was the 30 to 60 year vision of how Cornell has a whole Ithaca area campus, put buildings, what kind of things should we be building, and how do we get around to do different things. And you get invited to do things that are really cool when you're part of the assembly, like go to Board of Trustee receptions and talk to them. There was this reception where people were asking very specific questions, and they were like, well, you know, we're cool that you guys are talking about this, the nitty-gritty, but we really like to talk about really big issues. So I'm a sustainability-minded person, and my sister, who looks like me but doesn't have a beard, works in the sustainability office here at Kimberly Park Admission. So if you've seen her before, very positive. So they said, we want to talk about the next 200 years. And I said, well, you know, we count people's carbon footprint for traveling to campus, and 28% of staff live outside of the county and have more than a 25-minute commute, 48% of the union. So like, when is Cornell going to get to the time where we have on-campus housing, you know, for staff? And they said, who let this guy in here? Next question. But somebody says, you know, it's not really about how you get here, it's when you get here. You can't go to any place, but you have no idea. There's like 24 bus routes that all land on East Avenue outside of Bay Hall. And if I'm somebody that's visiting, and I get on 81 or 82, and I'm trying to go to the dining hall, I might end up at the airport or in Truman's Road. So what the circulator is about is something that has been outlined for the last 11 years and all these plans. This is not my idea. I didn't create it. I just was in so many meetings and said, well, why aren't we doing this? And the trustee said, so the way to do something is write a resolution. So this is my very first resolution that I've ever written. And at this point, I have made it through the UA committee that I'm on, the chair, and the board, and the table, and the EA, on the Employee Welfare Committee, and it is tabled. So my goal is to take this to all the assemblies, get it in, talk about it, table it, and then get any kind of feedback, because there are things that everybody is looking for compliance to have to get. So who's it going to affect? Everybody. which is also another scary thing, because now I'm messing with everybody. But all of you is asking for what they said to all of a sudden. In the master plan of 2015, the game farm, athletics plan, the sustainability plan, they all reach to this. Let's use mass transit, let's have electric buses or systems, let's get people to play. Because if you're a vet school person, I've learned that the vet school, anything below the vet school is called down campus. So some people's whole life is just at a vet school hospital over there. But we have these kind of events right here where I was like in mid campus. And people can't really get back and forth, even with all the stuff that is down driving to fly around. Even if you ride your bike, there's so many buses that are driving by that it's potentially a little bit uncomfortable even in the bike place. So this is something that's going to affect everybody. So the employee assembly sent out a poll and asked everybody, our staff, what are your priorities this year? And employee health and well-being was 138 responses, and then 137 was parking and transportation. And I make the case that people's health and well-being is directly affected by being able to park right next to your job. So I have in mind that the people that are the hourly people or the late night staff, that including you guys as well, either you're taking office hours or you're holding a session, and it's like you have to leave 2 hours early to get to the parking lot to just take a 25-minute bus ride to get to the station. There's got to be a way to improve that, and people have figured out that that should be a little bit good. So what the resolution, by show of hands, how many people were able to see it or even look at it before the meeting? All right, not so bad. So what it really does is it's a collection of all the information that has already been out there and posted. And, you know, I am not designing it. All I'm saying is I am making a recommendation to the university administration, the president's office, that this has been something that's really been in discussion, that everybody's life should improve based on what has been said. And we want to make this a project that gets signed by the owner and is realized in the next 5 years. I have included in my whereas clause asking for funding. What I imagine is going to happen is they're going to say, hey, this looks like this could be a real project now that all the assemblies have requested it, but let's see what we can do with what we've got. And I think that's like a fair first step. But for me, having a circulator that would fix all of our problems can't just be sort of like rearranging the chairs. There's got to be some room for innovation and sustainability. So what we're really trying to do is just ask and say, hey, we, all the assembly members here, the people that walk the life at Cornell, all think that this has been a problem enough for us, because the transportation department will tell you that there is enough parking for everybody. And I do believe that that's true. It's just not where you want to park. And so how do we get people from where they don't want to be to where they want to be? So how can it help? See the resolution. I guess.
And I do have this one.
Oh. And it goes through and says, in the master plan, this is how, I guess I should start there. I don't really know how to read it to you, not getting into the time. But, it affects accessibility, so like getting around campus. You know, there are not like a lot of great trade-offs if you had accessibility needs right now that are consistent. The bus system is confusing. There's an 81, an 82, a 41, a 43. And so, what we're trying to do is talk about the fact that we do have a really good partnership with TCAT. In the 90s, Cornell had run its own bus system, and at my own risk, I will say, it sounds like in my history data that they were not great at that. You know, one thing that we could improve on for sure, and they realized that they needed transportation professionals to run. So our partnership with TCAT is something that would be a part of it. So using TCAT already, they're not trying to take things away. Human assembly representatives, said, listen, if you make getting around campus better, but at the expense of getting to from campus or town or whatever, you're not going to really help it that much. So it would be great that I could get my classes faster, but not great that I can't get home anymore. So with line 12, it says this was outlined in the master plan. It is special to the efficiency and productivity of Cornell campus, which depends on how well students, faculty, employees, alumni, as well as guests and visitors move around. In the climate action plan, they talk about the use of mass, we have a carbon neutral goal of 2035. So there was a sustainability summit in the middle of December that I was at, because I'm on the sustainable Cornell Council for operations. And the circulator is made there as well. That is something that's going on. 2015 Game Farm Road. So this is like out behind the East Hill Plaza. And they had this idea where we can take a lot of sports facilities that are on campus and move this out to the site and sort of have this like athletic slant. But there are challenges about trying to students get their students out. There was one thing where the athletics department said, it's really too far away. And I said, well, aren't you guys like good at running? And they said, shut up. So that one's a little bit more questionable, but it's a plan. Like, we have this land. I keep talking about building a really nice parking lot, because we've got one on the west side of campus and north side. There's nothing really great going on in the east. There was a 2008 parking optimization study on line 24 that talked about most of the things that I just covered, but specifically I keep with the idea of intercampus mobility options. Something I learned was that only first year students have access to PCAP for free, so that is garbage. And what I like to see is that we have barrier free transit. Like, you should be able to be anywhere, no matter who you are, or even without an ID or a card, walk on to a bus or a shuttle or a car, it doesn't matter. And having it take you to places on campus. So for me, that was another astounding and important thing. Pedestrian bike safety is a priority. So this is a thing called Vision Zero. It started in Sweden in the 90s. It's about trying to reduce traffic related fatalities. And I almost bought a car that automatically stopped because everybody here gets to go walk looking at their phone. A lot of people obey the rules, but some of you can jump out in front of you. And this would be one of those things where we're reducing people driving around campus as well as the buses. So less traffic on campus, more room for people on the bikes. Something that really helped out was that President Pollack released her core values for Cornell. Respect our natural environment. It's hard to see our natural environment as we're standing next to the side of a line of buses. So the landscape people were happy about that. And mostly out of the box, we are asking to secure the funding, develop a pilot system, implement and fully realize such a circulator over the period of the next 5 years. So a reasonable thing. What will potentially practically happen, and now I'm speaking about things that I'm not in charge of. We can go back to the slide because I'll show you. Is that probably this summer would be when the transportation department looked at some of the routes and tried to make modifications. So I've learned that Route 10 got modified, and the people are really happy with the way that Route 10 is. However, it goes 2 blocks and then it's totally full. So it's much better, but also down 2 full. More about what the circulator revolution is trying to do is make it fast and easy to get around campus, to make sure that people can park on the side of campus, make sure visitors can get around, reduce the amount of buses, and make the campus more accessible, and also reduce the amount of environmental impact. So here's a map from the 2008 master plan. And what you'll see is here's core campus, and anywhere they use black lines for this, it makes me unhappy, but it's going off the north campus, this is like where Elon and Balch is. Here is west, this is out to East Coast Plaza. And so the idea is that there would be something that is driving around, taking people around, and then it would also something else to take here. And these are where a lot of parking spaces are at. And that would go to that one. So this is from the 2018 version. So when transportation really did their study, you can see that it is very similar. One thing are these stars. And these stars are hubs. It doesn't really say what hubs are, but that's like a bus stop that had useful information. I just saw a thing that's posted, it's like, here are the 29 different route changes that are in the bus stop. And I took a picture and maybe we can bring it up. I was like, who, you know, I at least know this stuff and ride a bus, but like, if I was here, I'm like, how do I get to a law school? There's no way that you can figure it out. So really what a hub would be where mass transit around the county intersects with the on-campus transportation. And those things would have like signs that are visually tracking the GPS and telling you this route is on time, this is where this bus is, this is where I can touch a screen and say, I'm here, but I want to go there. It will say, get out on circulator, for example, A line or blue line, and see Johnson College of Business if they donate money for this. So if you represent them, let's talk. So here they are side by side, and you see that they really sort of kept the spirit of it.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It's still increasing. They expanded the west and the east. But the sort of the main idea is that you just have these things that are constantly running and letting people get out and off of them. So as soon as I'm done, normally the anticipation is explaining. This wasn't my idea. I listened to it, took good notes, and you know, the concept is we're just asking for permission and getting someone to get started to say, well, what is this going to look like and how many minutes is it going to save me? So I don't know the answers, but here are things that are out there right now. So it could just be a bus that is going on a different route and it has a different purpose. This thing is from Texas Southern University and it is a fully automated bus car, which I do believe we have a raise here at Cornell. We've got some snow tires on it, and maybe we can be able to go. But this is the kind of concept that we would be working together through our assembly talk. And you know, I like the most complicated problems to kind of fix them. But it could be any of these things, and that's for us all to work together to find out. As I mentioned, sustainability is in mind. I have listed five different clauses. If this was not going to sustainability, I would have a hard time. I can tell you that PCAP lost their last season plus in 2019. So all the buses from PCAT going forward are going to be electric, whether they're recirculated or not. Who is going to be doing the work? So the Cornell Transportation Department, what I learned about these assemblies is that you can't just like come up with a great idea, get persons in college, gavel it into existence, and now someone's got to go and do it. So I had talked to Bridget Brady and Reed in transportation and said, tell me more about how we can get this actually going. And so they are in the loop, and they would be happy to come here and talk to you guys about transportation issues as well. We have a company called the Campus Master Campus Plan Committee that I'm a part of. Those are a lot of the campus architects and maintenance people. Well, all of our different committees, we've all got some sort of transportation, and we all agree that we have these kind of issues. So that's sort of where the design comes in, or the objections to, hey, you move this over here, but what you guys don't know is that every Thursday and Friday, grad school students go and do this thing, and now they're going to take it away. But they did put a kind of change. I work in Maple Avenue, the transportation building, and they changed the route through us, and everybody freaked out. That was our only way to get to campus to do things on campus. But we gave them our feedback, and they put it back, and made it a little bit better. So they will listen. So I sort of mentioned what the plan is try to get this out in front of everybody, collect as much feedback, have a table. With the idea that by the end of the session in 2020, have as many of the assemblies pass it with the included amended language. So Jeff P, who is here, also mentioned that you know, if you're in the vet school and you are here late on campus, at 7:30, it's not just you, you're also running the closest route that you can get to the next connecting thing is still like a 25-minute walk. So those are the kind of things that I'm looking to collect from everybody here so that I can include those in the resolution in some way, shape, or form. All right, so that was what I'm here to do. And now I'm interested in hearing anybody's thoughts or questions or ideas for this paper circulator resolution.
I have
mine's framed on the fact that I've been several different universities and have seen both different ways of transport. I am all of them, well, at least for UVA and our UVA University of Washington, we have transit passes built into our cars permanently. Like, as long as we were affiliated with some respective universities, we could get on the local transit system and just have our car against the reader. And so, has there been any discussion, one, about including that? Two, with respect to loop buses or things like that, UVA can run UW doesn't because there was no point because how it was and uses just public transit system to cover that. So has Cornell looked to other universities that do run transit systems partially? Because like in UVA's case, there's in Charlottesville, there's what's known as the trolley, which runs from Central Grounds to the mall, which is the equivalent to the Commons here, and then back, does this loop around and around and around. But UVA also has three buses at the cell, two buses that follow the same route, inner and outer, and then another one that just runs from Central Grounds to North. So, sorry, I'll try to shut up soon. So my point being is, have they looked at solutions like those that other universities are doing, and or just making sure that the students for the duration of their time at Cornell have bus passes as a part of their as a part of your Cornell student, congratulations, here's your bus pass as a part of that. Like instead of it being the third year and then afterwards you have to pay for it.
Right. So those are possibly further ahead of where the resolution actually is, but I would say that they're going to try to use the resources that we have available. And what in my mind is you don't need a pass. Like you are spending here on campus, wherever that is. You can get on the thing and no one's going to hassle you or ask you for something. You're just here and get around without there being a problem. And he did also, he was thinking the same way when I brought this up to the university assembly. What other circular systems are out there on other campuses? So I have talked to the transportation department, because I'm not the design person. Maybe I'll be in that conversation, but I'm really trying hard to not say, we need a space shuttle or everybody gets motorcycles. That is not what, but I would say that there are some ones that are really cool. It's only automated ones or rail cars. I think that we should have gondolas down the gorge, and that would be super cool. And like, we do anything in the gorge. So those are things where they are looking at bigger institutions and trying to figure it out. But they're going to stick with trying to use CCAT as a central filter for this. And what I would like them to see or do personally is as they pilot this and then they change the existing resource system, when they figure out, oh, listen, it would be really good if we did have one or two other kinds of buses, shuttles, or gas out moved in this area. Like, specifically in outlining. So Bridget Brady is a board member of DCAT. She is our director of transportation on campus. Why this is such a good time is that the Cornell Transportation Department has been asked to work on their campus development management. And DCAT is going through right now the RFP process for redoing their whole DCAT transit development plan as well. So this is landing at a specific time. And so I started this that this is a need and a want from Cornell, and at every point of it, I hope the mind that they have to sign on to this, whether you know, whatever I have to do. So they know that this is an ask, it's already been discussed, but they don't have a plan yet. But for their revisions, everybody's revisions of the plan, including the Sustainable Cornell Council, has the circulator in mind as decisions about what do we do and make the next step forward.
Yeah.
Thank you. I guess one sort of angle to like think about this from that I think, and obviously I guess you're not in for your planning process, but one
Yeah, thanks for that feedback. I agree.
So, thank you. I just have a really quick question. So, along the lines of what Jeremy asked, is it meant to supplement or system or replace it?
I guess it would be a modification of it. So, the way I understand it is right now, if you sit outside of Day Hall, 24 different buses from all over the county come and stop there, drop people off, or wherever they're coming from. So those 24 buses are now stopping at different parts on the campus periphery. People are getting off there and getting on circulators that take them to campus. So it is sort of, it's not like you're going to see bus free elimination unless they die of all segways or something. But it is going to be, less traffic overall using some version of TCAP buses, whether it be smaller ones that move around really fast in 5 minutes or larger ones. And that's going to be one of the things they have around this information. So it's like a modification. And if they do find something that is an extreme improvement where they do have that segue, they can share it with all of them. Let's get that.
Has there been any,
No, kind of like that. It hasn't been anything that we've really discussed, though I have asked for the things as big as possible, or where could we put in with Uber or those kinds of services to fill in other gaps that are out there. So that is something that they have in mind. TCAT actually has in mind in their overall county plan to supplement those buses to go and get like, we can also really have human for it's like 2 or 3 times a day. So it has to get people out of it.
Oh yeah, so related to my last question, but also follow on with other people. Is there anything specifically designed or designated that will like just be, because I know like the 10 and 30 like run from downtown to on routes back in their various configurations. Will there be, and luckily for me, because I can get on right at the Seneca Street one, so I never have a problem getting to see. But, are there ways, is there a plan to, just maintain, a certain number that runs straight from, say, downtown or from the commons, the grounds, and back and forth, and just to do various versions of that run? That seems to be certainly a very popular design. Some of us, in fact, deal with downtown.
Great. This is the kind of feedback that I need, because that would be things where we can provide. Everybody here is coming from a different place. Like you all went to the same house, and that would be really cool. The GPS they have outlet maps, but that's the kind of information about what is working for you right now. We know parking is not working for anybody, but what routes are successful and what would you like to see? Because this has to be an improvement, an overall gain for everybody. It cannot just be we made smaller buses and now 5 people get to the front. We all need to participate in the design decisions and send out the feedback.
Okay. The sunset's a great idea. One thing I was a little worried about was the reduction in buses from the campus. Does that mean that the bus routes going to campus would also be reduced? For example, if you had less circulation of the 10 or whatever that goes to downtown and comes to the middle of campus. I feel like it might be harder to get to campus if you eliminated some of the buses through campus because it's easier way for those buses to go to campus. So and also it seems like a lot of grad students use Unify bus. So having them get off the bus when they get to campus and then get on another additional circulator would be an extra step in my view. I was kind of concerned about the fact that Cornell runs on a fast schedule. For example, riding the 10 up in the morning, if you're coming close to 9 a.m., you'll see the undergrads have these huge lines waiting to get on the 10. I was wondering, if you have a smaller bus for the circulator and you don't increase the number of circulators that are going at the time, it's going to be even harder to do
I think that this needs to be an improvement is sort of where I'm sitting. And so taking away things that are working for people, it would be like, here's there's a sign, I'm not going to sit down there with like a one decaf once it's through the plate, but they would probably look at what the ridership is, what is the optimum delivery rate, and ideally you are getting where you need to go in like 5 to 7 minutes, I think. So if your bus did stop and where it currently takes you to someplace now, you're getting off at a hub that then will put someplace within 5 to 7 minutes, but that is a little bit more of a design decision, and so I think that we can include it in the clause and whereas, like, hey, you know, let's make sure that these routes are recognized by the PDSA as the best routes that we're so happy to let them go here, and don't touch them because we get them.
Yeah, can we get more of the 10, please, not less?
I think that, you know, from, well, we've heard the University Assembly.
Are really crucial to get graduates
from campus. So don't eliminate those. Thanks. That's really good feedback. And I'm definitely kind of look out for everybody. And this is going to be a thing where I think we do have to make some sacrifices up front, because they're going to try to do some new things, find out where stuff does and doesn't work. And that is part of the ask, is we're going to all work on this together. Forward. Hopefully, we cover 95% of everybody's improving time. So I'm at 31 minutes, and I think I told you it was 25.
Yeah. Are there any further questions?
So if I'm not mistaken, we are not going to discuss this next. You're going to wait to get more feedback, and then we're going to come back to it later in the semester.
Yeah, that's right. So here it is. Andy is the sponsor. If you want to be a co-sponsor, awesome. Please sign up. I put everybody as a co-sponsor online. So the idea is that this, I guess, is being introduced for debate around the floor today. And the other assemblies begin to talk about it. And next time we go, but I told everybody to not vote. So we collect all the feedback from everybody. So we can amend the resolution to be the best resolution for all the people on the floor. And then my goal is by the end of this assembly to start to attack. The thing is super weird. I'm just from 1 year to the other. So I do need your help and your support. And I'm interested in any kind of feedback that you have for this. If you come to these 40 assemblies or the university assemblies, you can come to the campus infrastructure committee, figuring out what you need to do.
Cool. You have a question?
Yes. I have a question about the
you can have all of the things. So I will send it to everybody, and it's not only PowerPoint, but I have citations of all my links of where they're going, like on page 418 and the master plan. So everybody will get this, because the longer and then we can cast the feedback, the better for everybody.
Okay, just a quick comment. So if you want to give additional feedback to recruits, we are looking for graduate representatives on the campus infrastructure. So we are passionate about this. The transportation needs, we actually do need representation on Chris's committee. So if you have any questions, you can talk to him.
Thank you, Jeff. You are awesome operations chair for mentioning that, because I would have missed that opportunity. But yeah, help me out with some grad students. So far, you just can't really engage with it. His attendance is questionable.
Yes, yeah.
So now, unless there's any other questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I would move to table the next resolution section until the next meeting.
Yeah. The other resolution.
Oh,
sorry. We need to focus on this.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Let's just do this first. I motion to close discussion.
So the correct motion will be to table the legislation.
Yes.
Until, so So is that what you're
saying? Yes.
Yes, in a second. Okay. And all in favor of tabling this legislation?
All right.
Me.
All in favor.
Voting members? Yeah. Voting members only. Raise your placard.
Come on, babe.
Okay, we have majority. So it's tabled indefinitely.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody, for letting me get on the table and be tabled. thank you, everybody, and I look forward to working with you for the rest of the time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, so since we are moving to the next resolution, I am taking on the check. And our next resolution is also in the packet with the additional materials called the White Paper on Divestment drafted by the Campus Infrastructure Committee in response to the trustees. That information is available on the packet, so make sure you get the packet before you leave, so you can read all about it. So now I would like to move on to the next resolution, which is... Yes, Eric, you have a moment.
I do, which is to table discussion of this resolution until the next meeting, given that it's already almost close to time.
There's been a motion to table the resolution 6, supported by the fossil fuel to the next meeting.
I have a question.
I'm sorry? We'll have to entertain the motion first. Is there a discussion of the motion?
It's about the motion.
Oh, it's about the motion.
This will take longer than
5 minutes. I will. What do you think?
The introduction will be.
Okay. So, is there?
I'll amend my motion to ask that we introduce the resolution, but then immediately table any and all discussion until next meeting.
Okay. So the Q&A.
Just
that the introduction
would be quick and that's fine.
Okay.
I'm just afraid that discussion will probably take a very long while.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, there's been a motion to just introduce the language of the resolution and nothing else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's just introduce
the policy. So, there's been that motion. Is there a second to just do the introduction of the resolution? There's been a second? Okay, is there a second? Yes.
I think all this talking is you could already
get done with
by now.
Okay, so we have a support of divesting from social economic. Okay, so we're ready to go on. So I'll give the floor to the last.
Okay, hi. So this is pretty similar to the same idea when the camera circulator. This is also a resolution that is making its way throughout all of the different assemblies. I don't believe the undergraduate representatives who asked me to sponsor this resolution are here, but basically what this is asking for is that the university divest from fossil fuels. And this is building upon a resolution that was passed in the 2014-2015 academic year that made its way throughout all of the assemblies and thus went to the Board of Trustees directly. In 2016, the Board of Trustees decided not to enact this legislation because of financial reasons primarily. So the major goal of this resolution is to outline the financial impact of continuing to invest in fossil fuels. And in the meeting packet, there's 23 pages on the arguments, so I highly encourage you to read that and read this legislation as well.
Is that all your button?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, the packet does have the actual document, talks of the white paper on divestment. It's good information. It's you're free to get it. We will also send it out in the summary of the meeting. And so, get that. Is that everything? Do I just make a motion to move on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question about when we get to Q&A.
Can you say that? Okay.
On the two you have come to talk about. So they're the two that were the ones that were created as well.
We also have a busy schedule next meeting because President Pollock will be coming. And she takes up the whole presentation. So just be aware of that. But we only have this resolution hopefully to thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
It's not a question, it's a comment. So this is kind of to think about next week if it comes back. So the plan for this resolution is, as Alexa mentioned, multi-prompt, where multiple students on campus are able to attend this campus and stay connected. The reason for this is because we're interested in taking seriously on all the assemblies as well as the students on campus.
Yes, additionally, unless all five of us pass it, we won't be able to bypass the process. So if only four of us pass it, it'll go to the president and she'll ultimately have the final decision. But if all five assemblies pass this resolution, it goes straight to the board of trustees.
So,
March. Yeah, either that meeting or the one in fall.
Any other questions for Alexa? I'd like to entertain a motion to. Yes.
So moved. We'll all make a motion to suspend discussion until the next meeting.
Okay, there's been a motion to suspend discussion until the next meeting. Is there a second? Then a second. Is there a second? Seeing none. Okay, motion passes. So discussion moves on to the next thing. Thank you very much. We have a couple of last things on the agenda, very brief things. We have open forum. Are there any announcements? Yes, Cody.
So I just wanted to thank Cody, I'm the chair of the faculty board committee, and being that it's the spring, we're going to be starting to do things. So if anyone is interested in joining, in getting involved in the faculty awards, it's a lot of fun. Not very high time commitment. There's food at all the meetings. So my net ID is TJB259, and please reach out to me, and I would love to have people from different schools get involved so that we can start getting the ball rolling.
I have Casey, and then I have Victoria. So, Casey.
So I have two quick things from Joa. The kind of questions that everybody. So if the grant comes in on December 16th, there was a statement about the change in the admission and holiday policy, going from 3 weeks of the summer to 2 weeks.
That was the executive team, us three, us four, as well as the dean and other members. If you want more information on that, please.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then the other thing is the last president news. There was a question about the dental policy. Basically, the response was talk to your team and their representative.
to. Okay, so we can look into that one.
Okay.
Thank you. Big one?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I want to meet you and for people who know anyone from Zoom. My name is Gloria. I'm a vice president of Brayton. So thank you. And we'll be receiving online packages soon. So the paper numbers, if you got in fact, how to get involved or what angle the GPSA will be best to you. So you can talk to me. My community ID is GPSA22.
I just wanted to say that also if you're new, please come see me so I can get your head ID and get your staff properly.
Did you have
I just wanted to make an announcement. My name is Herzog. I represent the second ward of the district downtown. The second ward is basically downtown. I also chair the planning and economic development district of the council. And we've been dealing with some housing issues, obviously, due to the apartments that have been going up. We've been working on this housing legislation over the last 9 months. It has to do with trying to encourage accessory dwelling units. So these are apartments and homes. It's a much more sort of organic style of development in the neighborhood, not sort of the tall buildings you see going up everywhere, but smaller apartments. And we've had a lot of meetings. There's a lot of people who come to the meetings. A lot of the people who have come are homeowners or people who have been here for a long time. The reason I'm here tonight is because we actually haven't heard from many grad students. We've had some undergraduate students come for those who have been around with them. But I think the grad students are a really important voice in the community. And, you know, I've found that the legislation gets crafted according to who shows up. So it would be great to have you at the meeting if anybody's interested. The next council meeting is February 5th at 6 p.m. in Ithaca City Hall, third floor of the council chambers, 108 East Green Street. And I know you don't have much time tonight, but I'd be happy to stick around for 10 minutes after the meeting if you want to talk, or we can get your contact information as well. And I will say, too, just listening tonight, and there's a lot of things that we're working on. If you're interested in housing, you're interested in transit, I'd be happy to come back at some point and have a larger conversation about how your work can fit this work that we do. Thank you.
Good, thank you very much. One last announcement from me myself. We are working on a student legal services very on. So if you have any ideas of what you would want to get out of that service, from student legal services, so if you need more commitments, any spousal, marriage, divorce help from a lawyer, let me know after the meeting. And so that would be great. So anything that you have that would be useful for a community. So next, we have your written to the members report. Thank you for your patience. Yes, let's
second.
Any dissent? The last meeting is adjourned. Have an excellent semester to you guys in 2 weeks.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.